This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
Like a Bjork album.
It does. Hey, we had to look up. Remember the Goat Girl?
Yes.
A long ass time ago. You've heard this, Dave.
Goat Girl.
Yeah, we were pretty drunk and under the influence. And one night we're hanging out with our friend, Isha.
Yes.
And we were just like two sheets to the wind. Yes. And we were making food. And then all of a sudden we were so messed up that we improvised this weird song. I'll have to find it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. But it's just like
goat girls. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I do have many goat qualities.
You eat tin cans?
I'll what? Eat anything pretty much. And you know, I'm pretty chill, you know, I'm like hanging. And...
Yeah. You climb things. You have devil eyes. Yeah. You're a goat.
Crazy.
You're goat girl.
Goats are cute.
Goat you girl. Goat girl. But recently we've been having a lot of conversations about...
Goats.
No. Not that.
No. No, about our futures as far as location-wise.
We have been talking a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I'm so confused.
Why are you confused, darling?
Like, I really, really, really can see myself living in Mexico City. Uh-huh. It just feels right. Mm. But, you know, I also have an aging parent who is close by, which is nice to have, you know, that ability to go see her when I need to and want to.
For sure.
And then part of me is like, well, maybe I should go back to grad school here in the States.
Instead of going to Mexico.
Yeah. I don't know.
Would it be fun, though, to have get a, you know... Get your, doctorate or something in Mexico?
Oh, my God, doctorate. I got to get a master's first.
Oh, yeah, I forget you didn't have your master's.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I don't have mine either, remember?
I'm just teasing.
I left before I should have stayed one more year, but then I wouldn't have been able to see my dad, you know, before he passed.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's kind of where my gentleman. What about you, Dave? I know you're itching to get out of here.
I'm itching to get out of here, but I guess I'm very much in the same boat as you, you know, although I feel like I can probably afford a couple of years to have an adventure. And I feel like as 2018 turns to 2019, I'm in a place where I want to have more adventures in 2019.
Yes.
And so that seems to be my driving force right now. I'm kind of more like, I mean, I know I'm definitely trying to execute this plan of like, oh, let me go back to school and let me, you know, try to learn these new skills and blah, blah, blah. But if the opportunity came where I was afforded the chance to move to another city and I was doing it while also being a bartender, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean? If I like where I'm going to be living at and I can make it work.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Ooh. We'll see. Stay tuned.
What about you, Kim? Do you think you guys are here in Austin for good?
Well, I don't think we would be. I think we'll always be rooted to Austin in some way. We'll always have some type of residence in Austin. But, you know, optimistically, we'll have a place here and a place somewhere else, you know, because I don't want to just live here forever. You know, I grew up a military kid, a military brat, and I have that traveling bug. And so we decided in our family, even though we are going to be in Austin for a while, just because we have to consider our son's schooling, that we'll make some road trips. So we are thinking of making a road trip to Arizona, where my friend Heather and her wife.
Oh, I remember Heather. Yeah,
are there, and they may even arrange a gig for us and sponsor our trip. So we're hoping we can work that out. Wow. I need to call them and and see how we can work that out. So we might do that for Christmas. And then we're thinking of driving to, yes, New Hampshire for the summer.
Oh, for the summer. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's okay. I thought you were saying in the winter. I was like, ooh.
Oh, hell to the no. That is a place where black does crack. I always believed that black didn't crack, but...
You go to New Hampshire in the winter, you will see black crack is what I'm feeling you on that.
Your skin gets so dry and crackly, and your skin literally is cracking.
Oh, no.
Yes.
There's not enough lotion in the world to get me in New Hampshire in
winter. I felt the same way in Las Vegas. I went for the first time this year. And, man, it's so dry. It is so dry. Like, it's hot. And it reminded me a lot of El Paso, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, it's that kind of dry heat. But it was a particularly hot summer when I went. Mm-hmm. And, like, just walking, like, two blocks, I could just feel my skin tightening. I was like, whoa. You know. But that was
that kind of heat.
Yeah, that was the only negative part of the trip. That was a really fun
time. Michael, you should do that. You put some type of smooth clay all over your body. And then start, you know, and just be walking around with some, like, heat lamp on you. And then, like, the clay on your face starts crackling and you start, like, looking like you're aging and crumbling all
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like something you would do.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like something Kim should be doing. Yeah. It's your idea.
I'm not an artist.
Yes, you are.
Performance art. Okay, I'm a performance.
Yeah. I've had artist. Kim be inside a lot. Or That's not inside. True. As part of a lot of my performances.
That's true.
Those have been some of my favorite performances, I must say, that I've seen you do, Michael, are ones that incorporate Kim into them. They're so much fun.
They really are.
I always feel honored and then make a complete jackass of myself when I talk to people.
Why?
Yes, Michael.
You mean afterwards or what?
Yes, afterwards.
When they ask you what the piece is about and you're like, I don't know, he just asked me to do this. Right.
Pretty much. I said last time, I was like, art is good. I like art because art is good.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
I was like a kindergartner.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, I love it.
We've all been there, though.
It happens, girl.
Yeah.
It happens.
I just got nervous.
Have I ever been in an art show with you? Have you ever incorporated me?
Well, yeah. We did that one video together in San Marcos.
Yeah, I remember. You even got an award for it.
That was very cool.
Wait, what are you talking about, Kim?
Didn't you get some type of award? Weren't you recognized in the paper or...
I don't think we got an award.
Oh, I think you're talking about the little mini documentary you did for South by Southwest.
Yeah, that was fun.
Didn't y'all do that together?
Well, that was his project.
But
he let me be a part of it.
That was more me.
And that was awesome.
That was fun too. But that was what I do, which is make stories. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about art, like, and the show that we did in San Marcos was fun because I always have ideas that I could be an artist. You know, having befriended an artist for so long, you know, and watching what he does. Well, a different kind of art, more kind of like a, you know, just, you know, avant-garde, a little bit more. I'm very straight narrative storyteller, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm very much, I do believe in narrative because that's what I do, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's my art is to tell stories. But you tell stories in a different way. And I love that piece. I'm going to describe it for the people if we end up using this or not. Maybe some extras or something. Mm-hmm. But it was at first, Michael was like, hey, you're going to help me with this piece. We're going to drive around and we're going to videotape the backs of trucks, like 18-wheelers. I was like, that sounds awesome. Okay, let's do it. So we did that, and then we just had like a montage, right, of these 18-wheeler trucks from the back, and and you asked me to edit them together, and we kind of did it together or something like that. It was like a continuous loop of these 18-wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to me what it was about and why we were doing it, you know what I mean? But it wasn't until I actually saw it projected on screen in that space, and Michael had all these other pieces too, and... Talk to us about the show itself, because the show was, how did it fit into the show,
That piece? Yeah, so the exhibition was called De la Tierra, which means of the earth, and it was based on a novel. It was based on a novel by Tomás Rivera, who is a famous Chicano thinker and writer who happens to be an alum of Texas State University, which is where this exhibition took place. Mm-hmm. And the whole exhibition was based on this book. It talks about his youth being a part of a migrant working family migrant farmers. And so I had assigned a chapter to each of the artists and had to make new work based on this chapter. And so, so the one that Dave and I collaborated on was just about the whole idea, like the inhumanity of it. And so for me, the 18-wheelers, whenever I see them, because of things that I've seen in the news and
you know, the stories you hear,
I'm always imagining, like, are there people being trafficked inside that truck? Especially the stretch of highway that we filmed them on is between Austin and San Antonio, and San Antonio had recently had a tractor trailer found with dead immigrants inside because they had died from the heat.
And that's so, a story that's happened several times in Texas. You know, I in our generation growing up, it was the Victoria incident where they found, I forget the exact number, but dead migrants in the back of a truck because the driver had abandoned them out of fear of being caught.
Persecuted.
Just left them in there to suffocate. And I actually show a short film about that to my students. And so to come about from that story from this, from a different angle, from the angle that I approach it as a narrative, that film always hits the kids very hard.
I can imagine,
They're like, reality check, Mr. B. Thank you. So good. it's a good,
you're such a good teacher.
You are.
No, you really are. I mean, hello. He actually was the high school teacher of the year for all of Austin. Was it 3-4 years ago now?
2010-11. I don't remember
it. Oh, really? That far back?
It was a long time ago.
Anyways, but he he was the top high school teacher. Yeah. So you must be doing something good.
Yeah, I just be loving on these children.
That's all you're doing.
Try to, you know, show them the power of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Yeah,
it's your passion, and you're sharing that passion with them, and they see the authenticity and someone being real with them who's a real life example of that world. You know, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you represent a lot of hope for them.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
Well, some people would say that the subject of our next segment was expressing things that make him an asshole. So let's continue with opinions are like assholes. Some of them don't stink.
So let's talk a little bit about a news story that we had on our other episode this week. The case of the president of Grindr, which, if you don't know, Grindr is the number one gay app, dating app.
Quote unquote. Dating.
I was going to say that with, like, way kid gloves. Because, like, anyway, there's no dating. But whatever. I think we actually talked about that in a former episode. You remember?
Yes.
But anyway, the president of Grindr, he went viral this week. We talked about it. He posted on Facebook that he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman.
All right.
And, of course, you can imagine, Kim and Michael, obviously, a lot of people were like, okay, wait a minute. You're the president of the biggest gay hookup app in the world, and you think that marriage is between a man and a woman?
Yeah.
Something's not connecting here.
Yeah, I mean.
So, you know, obviously there was a lot of controversy, right? It later turned out that controversy probably wasn't justified. But let's put that aside for a second. The reason why I want to bring this up is because it made me think about a couple of questions, and I wanted to get y'all's opinion on this. So first of all, the president of the biggest gay app is a straight man who seems to support gay rights but does not believe in their marriages. Go.
I think it's complete hypocrisy. I think if you really believe in heterosexual marriage alone, then you should support its furtherance, you know? And how can you promote its furtherance if you have a huge gay app? I just don't see how you can say you believe in the matrimony of marriage
until it comes to capitalism, and I want to make some money off these gay people.
Absolutely,
that's where it's gross.
Absolutely,
What do you mean by that? I mean, because, like, that's what I was thinking too. What do you mean?
Yeah, so it's like a convenient Christian opinion. Like, I'm assuming this person is Christian. I shouldn't do that.
We don't know if he's Christian.
Well, actually, no. Where are they based?
So he is Chinese.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe not. Maybe not.
So. Yeah.
But it's a take that a lot of hypocritical Christians do in this country, mm-hmm. especially.
Uh-huh.
Which where is... it's like, okay, think about it, like politicians, especially these Christian politicians here we have in the States, where it's like, no woman can or should ever be able to get an abortion. She should be punished if she gets one, blah, 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 blah. But then he knocks up his intern and he's taking her to the abortion clinic.
Right.
You know? That's right. That's what I see it as.
Yeah. So that's harsh. I think in this case. But no. But here's where I think it's harsh. Okay. Here's where I agree with you first. Let me just say this.
Okay.
A straight man who owns the biggest gay app. I'm going to throw that out one more time.
How straight is he?
Straight to bed. No. He's straight. Okay. But he owns the biggest gay app. And he makes his money off of
yes
gay people having sex.
Absolutely.
So then he goes and says, okay, look, I make my money off of this community, but I personally believe that marriage is between X and X, right? Or X yeah. and Y in this yeah. case. I feel like maybe the rest of his statement in support of gay rights after that is like him...
Backpedaling.
Yeah. yeah. Or like yeah. saying, you know, I can't fuck with the fucking hand that feeds me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can't bite the hand that feeds
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. So you think he like...
I gotta throw him a bone.
Throw him a bone. He's throwing a bone. Maybe. I don't know the man.
Yeah.
But it just reeks of opportunistic bullshit. Yeah,
exactly. It just reeks hypocrisy to me. I mean, you just can't... Mm-hmm. You can't say... that you believe that this is the sacred thing and then not support the behavior
the people that are paying you to fucking live your lifestyle.
Well, that too, but yeah, yeah. just...
Right.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, so that was one question that came to mind. Here's another one. How many more businesses are out there that the owners of these businesses, or at least the presidents of these businesses, hold views... that their customer base would actually oppose. Like, yeah. I mean, we know of like Grindr now, apparently, you know, but there's also other examples. Like, think about mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that Target. They're blatantly
homophobic. You know, homophobic.
Well, and Target, too.
You know, Target. There's homophobic? Target. Well, there's these businesses that yes. these leaders, like, they give money to Republicans or they, you know, they support yeah. conservatives.
Yeah. There's don't support gay marriage.
Or don't support gay marriage, you know. And,
or have made outspoken statements.
Yeah. Oh, right. I mean, the worst, of course, is Hobby Lobby. Yeah.
Right,
Hobby like, Lobby. That is, like, straight up.
Yeah. But, or does it even matter? Like, does it even matter that these companies have opinions? Aren't they allowed to have opinions, too? I mean...
Wait, okay, you're saying a company have an opinion. Again, that goes back to corporations being people.
Yeah.
And having rights. And, you know, it's like, well, yeah. I don't know.
The presidents of, or the leaders of these, are they allowed to have their opinions?
Okay, so that's why I say you can't judge necessarily the local... businesses, because I'll tell you honestly, I did not buy from Chick-fil-A until my son's school that was their sponsor, and they sponsored stuff that helped my son, and I didn't believe in Chick-fil-A and would never give money to their corporate anything corporate for them, you know. And I honestly do believe I'm stuck right in the middle, because I do believe it does matter. I believe that if you are giving your money to that company, you're helping them to promote whatever agenda they may have, the political agenda they may have. Mm-hmm. But just on the flip side, though, there are these local stores that they're not necessarily, you know, they're affiliated because they have the name, but they're like really doing stuff for the community, like helping the kids in the neighborhood and donating.
You're talking about like... franchises.
Yeah. Mm. And so I do. I will still go to those stores because I'm like, you know, they're helping my kid, you know, and supporting the community. So yeah,
that's, I mean, that's exactly. That's a great point. It's like, where do we draw the line? You know, shouldn't people be able to have their own personal opinions irrespective of, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I guess I would draw the line where that opinion that you have that is so negative against me because of who I am, if that opinion comes out in your business, then I draw the line.
Like you start selling t-shirts that say gay people suck.
Right. You know? Or like, you know, kill the gays McNuggets, you know, at Chick-fil-A or whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm talking about Chick-fil-A, you know? Yeah. So anyway, but beyond anything else though, well, the thing about this—that's the story that just got my attention—was the fact that the president of Grindr is not gay.
That is wild to me.
I just totally cannot believe that.
I don't know. That for me, that's on par with like John Boehner being like a major player in marijuana company.
Preach.
Have
you seen these commercials?
No.
There are commercials on TV, y'all. It's like an official presidential. Listen, it's an official presidential like presentation. It's got like the stars and stripes and everything. It's like dun, 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 dun. Great opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to make lots of money. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner is supporting medical marijuana and marijuana legalization, and you can make a fortune. Just call this number and we'll tell you how that we can get all the money from you and make you think like you're going to make a bunch of money back, but we're not really going to give you any money. But it's one of those commercials. Wow. And it's got John Boehner's face on there. Wow. He's the spokesperson for this fucking now. Wow.
See, that's where I'm like, this is the same thing. It's like bitch figures out he can make some money off of something he hates and people that he hates.
I don't know if he hates. And you know, we really shouldn't say that, because we don't know his motivations, but I tell you it's just odd to us. But his name is Scott Chen. We should probably like do a little more research on him, see what's up him. He seems from his posts like a genuine guy. Okay? Like it seems like it's genuine. There was let me read a couple of his responses again, just so to give him fairness, okay? He said that, quote, "There are people who believe that marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman. I agree, but that's none of our business." Isn't that a fucking play on words?
Yeah,
that's none of our business. Yes. That's not our business.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That caught exactly what you were saying a second ago. But then he goes on to say, there are people who are simply different from you who desperately want to get married. They have their own reasons. Getting married is a personal issue. So I think he's trying to have it both ways. But
yeah, he is. So, just like some of the people on the app.
Hello! Have you been looking at my profile again? If you are a person of color or maybe even a trans person, there's probably been a time in your life where somebody on the street has asked you, "No, what are you again?"
We're going to do, "No, but really, what are you?" And for this week's online quiz, we're going to answer the question, what city should you live in?
If you want to take the quiz with us, click on the link that we have provided with this show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is a BuzzFeed one.
So we are doing, what city do you actually belong in based on your taste in comfort foods?
So this goes back to, you know, what we're discussing earlier about where we need to end up or possibly travel to. And so, since we love to eat, let's talk about our foods.
Ooh.
Oh, honey.
Okay, first question is, pick a breakfast. So there's eggs and bacon, leftover pizza, Chala French toast, oatmeal, pancakes, bagel and lox.
Damn.
There's a lot of good stuff.
This is the wrong time to be looking at this food right now.
But honestly, the most typical breakfast that I have is oatmeal, and that oatmeal looks slamming. It looks like apple pie right there. So I think that would be great. Have some fresh bananas.
Although I normally eat eggs and bacon every day, I will choose the French toast because I love me some good French toast.
That looks slamming too.
Gosh, I think I'm going to go leftover pizza.
Yeah,
There's something good about a cold piece of pizza the day after.
All right. Don't know what that means, but we'll find out. Okay, number two is pick a fall beverage. We've got chai latte, hot cocoa, hot tea, pumpkin spice latte, cappuccino with a little feather drawn in it, and iced coffee all winter.
Man, cappuccino for me. Torn.
Click.
Most likely it would be the cappuccino.
Wow. Right? Doesn't look so good.
I'm a chai man. I love me some chai.
See, that's where I was torn between chai and cappuccino.
Do you remember that chai that they used to have at the Cosmic Cafe in Dallas?
Oh,
that was the
gosh.
Best chai I've ever
it
had
was.
In my life.
It really
yes.
was.
Yes. I need to go back sometime and get some.
Oh, are they still there?
I think so, yeah.
Mm. Oh, we should make a little trip.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, next, pick a bowl of soup. Wonton, tomato, ramen, butternut squash, French onion, or matzo ball?
I've never had matzo ball.
I haven't either because I don't think it's vegan.
Oh.
I think it's like a chicken
based. Oh, I love French onion soup.
Mm-hmm. I do love French. Ooh, you know, I'm going to go for wonton. I just love the texture of wonton.
Yeah, those are yummy.
I actually make a really good butternut squash, so I'm going to go with butternut squash.
Oh, you do? I remember that.
I'm going to go with French onion. That's...
All right, now pick a pasta noodle dish. Mm-hmm. Baked ziti, pad thai. Oh, there we go. Why continue? spaghetti meatballs, mac and cheese, soba, or pumpkin ravioli.
Ooh.
Pad thai
looks slammed.
That pad thai does look amazing, but I'm going to go with mac and cheese.
What?
Because you know me.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
I know you, honey.
Pick a sandwich. Eggplant parmesan, grilled cheese, fried chicken, falafel, Philly cheesesteak, or a Reuben. That looks amazing right now. God, you guys know where I'm going after this, right?
Oh my gosh.
Eggplant. I love me an eggplant.
Yeah, I think I'm going with eggplant as well.
I don't know. Philly cheesesteak, y'all. Boom.
Pick some booze.
How appropriate.
Yeah. Mulled wine. Spiked hot chocolate. Fall sangria. Hot toddy. Or old fashioned,
or none for me,
or none for me. Oh, okay.
She didn't even see that one.
I know that doesn't even exist in my world.
That's not.
Okay. Not that I'm an alcoholic or anything.
Where's the mezcal?
There's no mezcal on this.
No,
list.
I mean, where's the bottle? Hand it to me.
It's right here.
Okay,
there you go.
There's nothing wrong with being alcoholic or non-alcoholic. I'm not saying anything about either group.
We know.
We're just teasing.
Okay.
I'm going to go with an old-fashioned. If you guys don't know what an old-fashioned is, I will make you one day because I make really good old-fashions.
It would be best for me to pick a hot toddy because that would probably be better for my voice. But I think that fall sangria is looking like happy hour every day. Yes.
Hot toddy is going to be what, whiskey?
Bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah, bourbon whiskey. Yeah, I think I'd go with that. There's something really
hot toddies are very nice, too.
It makes you smell
like
a drunk.
Good. Says the woman who was just like, we don't judge alcoholics.
We don't.
Yes. Okay, next we have pick a dinner. Beef stew, mushroom risotto, chicken pot pie, dumplings, lasagna, or fried rice.
Wow.
God, it's like food porn up in here.
I know. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm kind of torn between the mushroom risotto, because, you know, I love pasta, or anything like rice, or the fried rice.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with fried rice.
Chicken pot pie, anything with a crust,
that's
I'm on it.
I think a good veggie lasagna would be awesome.
A good veggie lasagna
is good, too.
Oh, you need to make your lasagna again soon.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't done that in years.
You're right.
That was so good. Remember that?
I remember that.
Or with the sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh,
so good.
Okay.
God, we're like a food orgasm.
I know. Lord have mercy.
We shouldn't talk about food after we've been imbibing.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, pick something sweet.
Okay.
We've got milk and cookies, brownie, whatever the fuck that is.
That looks like apple pie.
It's a pie of some kind.
Apple pie, caramel cheesecake, tiramisu, ice cream. It's never too cold.
God.
I'm not a sweets person, so I'm
none of this enticing to you? None of this?
No, the savory stuff.
Pie.
This is all...
Which pie?
The apple pie. Pie.
Is there a way to select every single one of these?
I'll have the flight of
desserts,
please.
Can I just draw a boxer on all these? Okay, I can't. I'm just going to go with cheesecake. Okay.
So then what do I press?
I don't know what to put.
Press the last cheesecake, if that's what you want.
No, yeah. The cheesecake looks slamming, but I'm getting that apple pie. That's most typical for me.
I got Park City, Utah. It says, the cold never bothered you anyway, and winter is your favorite season. You belong in Park City, surrounded by world-class skiing and snowboarding, cozy pubs and taverns. I have no idea how to say that, so that's not a good sign. Ski spots that dole out hot cocoa and mulled wine.
All right. That is so not you.
That is absolutely incorrect.
Yeah.
So many ways.
Right. Mine fits me, though.
Okay.
It's actually a city I've had only... It's a city I had never been to until last year, and I fell in love with the people and the... Everything about it.
Where?
Chicago, bitch.
From Chicago. Oh,
I love Chicago.
It is such a great city.
It is a great
city. If it was not for the frigid cold... Mm. I could totally do that. But yeah, so it says, you got Chicago, Illinois. There's no beating around the bush. Winters here are C-O-L-D, but Chicago has plenty to offer, even in the chilliest weather. Since it's too cold to go outside, take advantage of Chicago's incredible restaurant scene. With such a diverse and exciting food scene, you'll never run out of new places to try.
Aww. And guess what mine was?
What was yours?
Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, see you later, Dave. We're going to Chicago. But you can come visit us from...
Utah? Park City, Utah? I can guarantee I will not be in Park City, Utah.
Watch him meet a man in this group from Utah, and he, like, swear his love.
He's like, no.
And you get offered a writing deal in Utah.
Not even, like, Salt Lake City, but...
I will wager to bet.
Why don't you go there first and check it out?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to keep an open mind always, but I'm going to wager to bet that I don't like to ski.
Two out of three friends. So it's just think it's two. It's 66%.
Yes,
67% accurate.
Yes. So our friends up in Chicago, get the couch ready for us. We're on our way. So we don't often do our segment, I Hear Ya. But the subject of this week's is so awesome, we just had to bring back the old segment. Dave, tell us what you hear.
Lovers of podcast, you need to check out Ear Hustle, co-hosted by Earlon Woods and Nigel Poor. The podcast features interviews of men in the prison as they talk about their lives there in that actual prison. Its goal, according to its creators, is to shed light on issues of mass incarceration and the justice system by telling intimate, humanizing stories. Mr. Wood himself is a prisoner inside San Quentin, and he recently had his sentence commuted by California Governor Jerry Brown, something that Wood revealed on the latest episode of the podcast. Says Wood, quote, after 21 years in prison, Governor Brown, the great governor of California, decided that I served enough time, unquote. Although what will become of the podcast now that one of its creators is a free man, what is sure is that Woods left behind a great historical archive of stories that are seldom heard, but should be.
That's great. No, it's great. I mean, more unheard voices need to be put out into the atmosphere. So this is just one more beautiful example of humanizing people. We need to acknowledge each other's humanity. So thank you, Mr. Woods and Mr. Poor. And I'm going to give Ear Hustle a listen.
For sure. This week in Ay Mi Gente, where we call out our own community for our own bullshit, Michael's got a very interesting take on what is going on right now in Mexico with the immigrants.
Yeah, so as you may recall, a couple of weeks ago, we did an eso, eso, eso about the Mexican government and people who were supporting the immigrants that a lot of people are calling the caravan.
The caravan.
Coming up from Central America to the United States to seek asylum. Because their countries have been decimated by U.S. policy, by the way.
as an aside.
Yes. And we were just going on about how amazing it was. Like, people were giving them food. The government gave them temporary jobs and health insurance. And, like, the kids, their kids were going to schools. It was, like, beautiful. Like, I was so proud of mi gente. But now I got to say ay to mi gente. because things have deteriorated. And, or, you know, presumably this has been going on their whole travel up to the U.S., but it wasn't spoken about as much. But it really kind of boiled to the surface as they reached the border with the U.S. in particular.
Yeah.
Because people were being xenophobic about them being in Mexico. Mexicans were being xenophobic about this. And people were mistreating them and saying horrible things to them. And just like, it was like, what a fucking 180 piece of bullshit that is.
From your own, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, for them, it's like they're foreigners in their country. I mean, they were behaving just like Americans do,
right?
Wow. And it's just like
they are foreigners in our country.
Yeah,
that's the mentality.
Yeah, whereas like the other people we talked about before were saying, "Oh, you're foreigners in our country. Here, let us help you."
Yeah,
I mean,
and now it's like
anywhere.
And aren't most people in Mexico Catholics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says in the Bible that you're supposed to be hospitable to your neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing was about.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, did you know that, Dave?
I did not.
That was the big that was the
I thought Sodom and Gomorrah was about anal sex.
No. They were like they say that there was that going on. And specifically it was that they wanted to have them some angels.
Mm-hmm.
For a sexual brunch.
Yeah. I remember that. I was at that party. I was at that party. It was really good.
So.
Yes, that's where Dave earned his.
Yeah, we were going to hell for that one.
That's where Dave earned his nickname, Saddam Hussein. Or Sodomy Hussein.
I love it. I love it. I love it. But back to the issue that you were bringing up, you know, Michael and I'm gente, it's actually something that a lot of countries are fucking coming to grips with. The fact that when you have poor people coming through and into your country, there's always going to be this friction between the people who want to receive those people, but understand that there's also limitations that what can be done and blah, 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 blah. There's always a stress on resources and stress on economics. Yeah. And that's what has people scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, especially when poverty is at such atrocious levels as it is in Mexico.
Right.
Yeah. The have-nots in Mexico are just like, oof,
they're
destitute.
Really,
they're so desperate.
And so, but I still don't think that gets them off the hook.
No, because you can actually, by sharing resources, you can actually save money.
Mm-hmm.
You can work together and cooperate and trade and, you know. Yeah. There's so many more options that produce better results from being charitable.
So it goes back to like even like this Mexican saying that si hay frijoles, todos comen, or something along those lines, which means, you know, if there are beans, everyone's going to eat.
This week in Lecciones Learned, Mike is going to teach Kim a bunch of words that are really hard to say. So this is more of a pronunciation challenge.
As we always do on this program, whenever we get to Lecciones Learned, one thing we always come away with is that Kim has impeccable pronunciation skills in foreign languages.
She does.
Aww.
You are like,
that's so sweet.
Killer. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to challenge this bitch. So I looked up some more difficult words to pronounce in Spanish, especially for people who don't speak Spanish.
Right.
So we have five words.
Five words that are really hard to say.
So you're going to try to say the word.
Okay.
You're going to try to guess what it means.
Oh, jeez.
And we won't make you do a sentence this week. How about that?
Thank God.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, look at that first word.
All right.
Give it a shot.
Desmesuradamente.
God damn.
That's really good.
Yeah. I struggled the first time.
That is really good.
Thank you.
Okay, so what does it mean, though? Desmesurado. I can't even say it.
It means it's unmeasurable?
No, but you're along those lines.
Not to be... Because des is like no.
Yeah.
And then you've got mesura.
So mente as a prefix is like li.
Right.
So it makes it's an adverb.
Immeasurably.
No, you're very close.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So
it's disproportionately.
Desmesuradamente.
Yeah. Desmesuradamente.
Desmesuradamente. That's hard to say. It is, boy. Right? Yeah. Can you nail that? What's the second one?
Okay, ready? Look at the second word.
Ornitorinco.
Dang.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I haven't stumbled right now. You're never going to guess what this is, because I didn't even know this word.
Say it again for me. This is really hard.
Ornitorinco?
Is that how she says it?
Yeah, yeah. She even rolled her R's.
Wow.
Good. Yeah. Ornitorinco
is... Okay.
Are you ready for this? This is the word you're going to be using all the time, Kim. So you have to learn that word.
Ornaments.
Are you ready? No. No. It means platypus. So, yes. So
that's really hard to say. Like, I still can't get my mind around it. I'm looking at it. Say it.
Think horny and think torrid.
That's what I think all the time.
Horny, torinco.
Help it. Oh, that's good.
Torinco.
I'm just going to go ahead and pass on that one. Mm-hmm. Let's try the next one. Can't do that one.
Okay. I'm nervous about this one because I'm not sure. But I think you told me that there wasn't a wa, so that it's pinguino?
No. You were correct the first time.
Pinguino?
Uh-huh.
Pinguino.
Yeah. So that has the umlaut over the U.
Yeah, how does pinguino. That go?
So it's like a G. If it didn't have that, it was just G-U-I.
Uh-huh.
It would be gi.
Ah.
But because it has it, it's gui.
Pinguino.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pinguino.
Pinguino. Take
because
a guess.
It's a penguin.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes.
It looks like penguin.
I know.
This next one is actually a test that Mexicans will give you.
Oh,
if you go to Mexico and say, I speak Spanish, they'll say, okay, say this word.
Oh, yeah, it's a tongue twister.
They always give it to you as a prueba. It's a test. So go ahead and say it.
All right. Ferrocarril.
Wow.
Damn it.
She did the first try.
I know.
Oh, y'all are so sweet. Thank you.
Ferrocarril.
Yes. So this trabalengua, which is a tongue twister in Spanish, goes like this. R con R en cigarro. R con R en barril. Rápido corren los carros por los rieles del ferrocarril.
Por los rieles de ferrocarril.
Yes.
Por los rieles de ferrocarril. Yes. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that's hard. Okay, the last word is...
All right, you ready, Kimber?
Okay. Idiosincrasia? Crasia? Idiosincrasia or idiosincrasia?
There you go. That is it.
Yep.
Idiosincrasia.
Yep. Because you have it ends with IA, you don't count that I as the last vowel or next to the last vowel.
Okay.
So that's why you would put the accent on the previous A.
Idiosincrasia.
Dang it.
Idiosincrasia. That's very good.
And you know what that means.
She's good.
An idiot? Oh, idiosyncrasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm the idiot.
Now you got that on your own. Good.
That's awesome.
That was fun. Okay, damn it. Well, I'm going to have to try next.
Try harder.
I'm going to have to try harder to thwart you next time, she-woman.
Yeah, that was really good.
For the honor of Grayskull!
S-O-S-O-S-O!
Yes, our final segment for today, S-O-S-O-S-O, is going to be about She-Ra. Did you guys watch this as kids?
Yes. I don't think I watched She-Ra. No.
Did you watch He-Man?
A little bit.
Yeah, did you?
I watched both, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was... People have a place in their heart for it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into it. Just some of the characters were just so silly and just cardboard-ish. But Netflix has done a reboot. A more inclusive and forward-thinking version of She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. And I was really, really exhausted one day. I had so much work to do. But no, I just sat down. I'm like, I need to watch something on Netflix.
Good for you.
And I binge-watched the whole season.
The whole season?
Needless to say, I was up late doing my work.
Oh, my gosh.
Mock off.
Yeah, I mean, it was, no, it was more like in the background, but like just watching it, just seeing the changes that they've made. For those of you who don't remember, so She-Ra was part of the Masters of the Universe property that was in the 80s, basically 30-minute long commercial to sell toys to kids.
Right. Yeah. That's what cartoons were, yes.
And it worked because I still have all my He-Man figures.
Aww. Hey, yeah, they definitely worked. Anyway.
We should have a party and play with them sometime.
We should. All right,
we'll do a whole podcast of just moving in action figures across the table.
Yeah. Of She-Ra, yes.
Of course, we'll be trashed, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so this new version is amazing.
Because it has, you were saying it has some representations that are kind of different or new. What exactly is going on in the show?
This is She-Ra for the 21st century. First of all, it's very body positive because back in the day, just like, you know, all the He-Man figures all had the same muscular, you know, homoerotic
body They had types. Really good bodies.
Yeah,
yes.
They were like perfect physiques.
Fucking perfect.
Same thing was for the She-Ra. They were all like these thin, white women.
Right. Tiny waist.
Tiny waist, yeah. You know, big bust kind of figures.
Yeah.
Well, now there's so much more variety. The one of the main characters has a thicker body, and all the other, you know, they don't have identical bodies.
Good.
So it's really positive about that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
It's also LGBTQ friendly. Yeah. Yeah, wow. And it's not like, you know, politicized or put in your face. It's just these are the characters and this is who they are, and they could be read as such and such. So, for instance, like, you know, She-Ra and her arch nemesis both grew up together, but there's like this kind of connection between them that could be construed as lesbian, especially the villain. Like, she goes to some party and she goes in a tuxedo and things like that. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. But her best friend could either be seen as like a gay guy or a trans guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like he wears like, there's a scene where they go to a spa and he has like binding across his chest that could be seen as like, you know, trans. Right. But then he just reads as gay too. So it's hard to say what they're going for.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And it's very positive and it was really fun to watch and see how they've changed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see or read who's putting this out? Is this Netflix?
Yeah, it's Netflix. It's on Netflix. Yeah. So another cool aspect of this is that it probably would do really well on the Bechdel test. For those of you who don't know, American cartoonist Alison Bechdel came up with this idea of female characters in movies and books and comics and whatnot, and whether they were self-sufficient in terms of like being who they were, or did they somehow rely on or always end up talking about a male character. The one back in the day, the She-Ra back in the day, it was constantly thrown in your face that she was He-Man's sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very, while it purported to be very feminist, it still, like, always came back to the guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas this one, like, there's zero mention of He-Man. I don't know if that'll come up in later seasons. But it was interesting. It was just interesting to see this take on it. And, like, you know, these queer kids that could be watching it. And there's lots of rainbows in it, too. That's lots of rainbow shit.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Gay animators.
Yeah. And I, you know, like I said, I wasn't into the old series, but this was an interesting watch. I don't know that I'll keep watching it. It wasn't like the best television I've ever seen, but it was fun to kind of follow that thread and be like, oh, is this what I think it's trying to, is it doing what I think it's trying to do? And yeah, a lot of people think that as well.
Right. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I will definitely watch a couple episodes then.
And maybe you'll like it so much that you'll watch it and you'll say,
S-O-S-O-S-O!
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen. Join the conversation
on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Eso.
But hopefully not like that, listeners.
I was in the middle of a yawn.
I'm sorry. You got
it. Let's say it together. S-S-S-S. Ready?
Okay.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Mama's gravy, Mama's gravy. Michael's phone has a piece of rice on the 7 key.
Go, girl. Go, girl. You go, girl.
Ah, you were a goat girl. You were batting.
Go, girl. Go, please, girl.
Please, please, please.
Pass the plate on me, please.
Cause I need to taste it in my dream.